China ignored both the pilot's and Claudia's pleas and spoke crisply to the officer who sat between the Russian's shoulder blades. Still pinning him to the bench, the Renamo reached over and seized one of his buttocks in each of his hands and drew them sharply apart. Claudia's protests dried in her throat, and she found herself staring, dry-mouthed, at the Russian's puckered, rosy-brown anus as it nestled like a blind man's eye between his hairy cheeks. China reached out towards it with the tip of the rod, then stopped 3 inches short of it. The mechanic felt the heat of it on his most intimate flesh and began to struggle so violently that 2 more of the Renamo officers had to throw their combined weight onto his back to keep him pinned down. "Yes?" China looked across at the Russian pilot. He was raving like a madman, his face contorted with outrage, shouting threats and accusations. "I regret the necessity," China said, and thrust the metal rod forward, his wrist cocked like that of a fencing master going on attack, a flesh. As the glowing metal touched the sensitive skin, the Russian screamed, a shattering, high-pitched shriek that made Claudia cry out pitifully in sympathy. The metal smoked and sizzled and sputtered as China rotated his wrist, twisting the rod deeper and deeper into the Russian's body. Now his screams were great explosive gusts of sound, and Claudia clapped her hands over her ears to shut them out and turned away, running into the corner of the dugout and pressing her face against the rough sandbags. The smoke filled her nostrils, her throat and her lungs. The obscene odour of burning flesh, of charring fat, coated her tongue and her gorge rose. She tried to contain it, but her vomit shot up through her throat and in a projectile stream splashed onto the earthen floor between her feet. Behind her, the screams dropped gradually in volume and became ghastly, rattling groans. However, all the Russians were yelling their protest and fury, and the din was confusing. Another whiff of burned flesh and spilled faces made her retch again, and then she wiped her mouth with the back of her hand and leaned her forehead against the sandbagged wall. She was trembling wildly, and tears and sweat streamed down her cheeks. Slowly the uproar behind her subsided, and the only sounds in the bunker were the mechanic's groans and gurgles. They were weaker now, but nonetheless harrowing. Claudia could tell without looking at him that the Russian was dying.
"Miss Montero," China's voice was level and calm, "please get a grip on yourself. We still have work to do."
"You are an animal," she blurted. "I hate you. Oh, God, how I hate you."
"Your feelings are not of the slightest interest to me," China said. "Now will you tell the pilot that I await his full cooperation?"
The flight engineer's groans distracted her. As she turned to face China, she saw that they had released the stricken man and allowed him to slump to the floor. China had made no effort to withdraw the metal rod from his body, and he was still transfixed. As he rolled weakly about on the earthen floor, he was plucking ineffectually at the protruding end of the rod. The heated metal had adhered to his bowels as it cooled, and was firmly rooted in his flesh. Every time he tugged at it, a trickle of liquid feces bubbled from the terrible wound.
"Speak to the pilot," China commanded.
Claudia dragged her eyes from the dying man and addressed the pilot.
"Please do what he wants."
"I cannot. My duty," the pilot cried.
"The devil with your duty," Claudia shouted back furiously. "You and all your men will end up like this."
She gestured to the floor without looking down again.
"That's what will happen to you!"
She turned to the other Russians who were shaken and appalled, pale with horror and terror.
"Look at him!" she screamed in English. "Is that what you want?"
They didn't understand the words, but her meaning was clear to all of them. They turned their faces towards the pilot. The pilot resisted their entreaties for a minute. And then, at a word from China, the Renamo officer seized another one of the ground crew and threw him, screaming and kicking, face down, across the bench. And the Russian pilot threw up both hands in a gesture of resignation.
"Tell him to stop,"
he said wearily to Claudia.
We will do as he orders.
Thank you, Miss Montero, China smiled at her charmingly. You are now free to rejoin Colonel Courtney.
How will you communicate with the pilot? She asked uncertainly.
Already he understands me.
China transferred the benevolence of his smile to the Russian.
I assure you that he will learn to speak my language with the utmost fluency in very short time indeed.
He turned back to Claudia.
Please convey my respects to Colonel Courtney and ask him to join me at his earliest convenience. I would like to take my leave of him, to thank him and wish him bon voyage.
He gave her a mocking bow.
So Godspeed, Miss Montero. I hope that you will remember all of us, your friends in Africa, with affection.
Claudia could find no words to reply. She turned to the door of the bunker, and her legs were shaky and rubbery beneath her. In a daze of horror, she stumbled down the hill. The sights around her, which at another time might have sickened and appalled her, she hardly noticed. At the foot of the hill she paused and tried to get a grip on herself. She breathed deeply, trying to quell the intermittent sobs that still caught her unawares, and she combed her hair back from her face with her fingers and retied the strip of cloth she was using as a headband. With the tail of her shirt she wiped the tears and sweat from her face and was shocked at the grimy smear they left on the cloth. "I must look like hell," she whispered, and clenched her hands to hide her broken fingernails. But she braced her shoulders and lifted her chin. "Sean mustn't see me like this," she told herself fiercely. "Pull yourself together, woman." Sean looked up as she hurried to where he was still working over Job's blanket-wrapped body. "What happened?" he demanded. "What kept you?"
"General China is here. He made me go with him."
"What did he want? What happened?"
"Nothing. Not important. I'll tell you about it later. How is Job?"
"I've got a full liter of plasma into him," Sean replied. He had suspended the drip set from a branch above them. "His pulse is bitter. Job is as tough as an old buffalo bull. Help me dress the wound."
"Is he conscious?"
"He comes and goes," Sean warned her.
Beneath the field dressing was such a terrible injury that neither of them could bring themselves to discuss it, especially as Job might be able to hear and understand them. Sean smothered the entire area with iodine paste, and then bound it up again with pressure pads and clean white bandages from the medical pack. The blood and iodine soaked through the white, even as he worked. Between them they had to roll Job onto his side to pass the bandages over his back. Claudia held the half-severed arm in place, bending the elbow across his chest, and Sean strapped it securely. By the time they finished, Job's entire upper body was swathed in a cocoon of expertly applied bandage, from which only his left arm protruded.
"His pulse is going again," Sean looked up from his wrist. "I'm going to give him another liter of plasma."
There was a scattered outbreak of machine gun and mortar fire from the forest beyond the hill lager, and Claudia looked up apprehensively. "What's that?"
"Frelimo counterattack."
Sean was still busy with the drip set.
"But China has three companies in there, and Frelimo are going to be less than enthusiastic now that they've lost their air support.
China's lads should be able to hold them off with no trouble."
"Sean, where did China come from? I thought..."
"Yes," Sean cut in. "I also thought he was back on the river. The crafty bastard was right on our heels, ready to push in and grab the spoils."
He finished adjusting the plasma flow in the drip set and squatted down beside Claudia, studying her face.
"All right," he said. "Tell me what happened."
"Nothing,"
she smiled brightly.
"Don't bullshit me, beautiful," Sean said gently and put an arm around her.
Despite herself, she choked on a sob.
"China," she whispered. "Right on top of what happened to Job. He made me translate for the Russian pilot. Oh, God, how I hate him. He's an animal. He made me watch..."
She broke off. "Rough stuff?" Sean asked, and she nodded.
"He killed one of the Russians in the foulest possible way.
He's a lovely lad, our China, but try and put him out of your mind. We've got enough troubles of our own. Let the Ruskies worry about theirs.
He forced the Russian pilot to agree to fly the helicopter.
Sean stood up, lifting her to her feet beside him. Don't think of China and the Russian anymore. All we have to worry about is getting out of here.
He broke off as he saw Sergeant Alfonso and a half dozen of his Shanganis trotting down the hill towards them. All of them were laden with loot.
Ungozi!
Alfonso's broad, handsome face was wreathed in a beatific grin.
What a fight! What a victory! You fought like an impi of lions, Sean agreed. The battle is won. But now you must help us to get away to the border. Captain Job is badly hurt.
Alfonso's smile faded. Despite their natural tribal enmity, both men had developed a grudging respect for each other.
How bad?
Alfonso came to stand beside Sean and looked down at Job.
There was a fiberglass stretcher in the first aid post, Claudia said. We can carry Job on that.
It is 2 days' march to the border, Alfonso murmured dubiously, through Frelimo territory.
Frelimo are running like dogs with a hot coal under their tails.
Sean's tone was hard.
Send two of your men to fetch the stretcher.
General China calls for you. He is leaving in the Russian Henshaw. He wants to speak to you before he goes, Alfonso said.
All right, but I want that stretcher here when I get back, Sean warned him and glanced at his wristwatch. We will march for the border in 1 hour from now.
Nkosi,
Alfonso agreed cheerfully.
We will be ready.
Sean turned back to Claudia.
I'm going to see China. I'm going to try to talk him into flying Job out in the helicopter, but I don't think my chances are particularly rosy.
Please stay with Job and keep an eye on his pulse rate. I found a disposable syringe of adrenaline in the medic pack. Use it only as a last resort.
Please don't be long, she whispered. I'm only brave when you're here.
Matatu will stay with you.
Sean climbed the hill swiftly, passing the first string of Renamo porters. Obviously China was taking everything he could carry away, including boxes of helicopter spares and hundreds of jerrycans of avgas. The lines of porters were heading back into the wilderness towards the river, and Sean paid them scant attention. His role was played. He was eager to get out, reach the border, get Job to where he could receive professional medical attention, and get Claudia to safety. However, over all his urgency lay the nagging uncertainty. Was China really going to stand by his word and let them go? Was he not being just a trifle optimistic?
We'll see, he told himself grimly, and shouted at one of the Renamo officers who was supervising the loading of the porters. Where's General China?
He found him, with his staff and the captured Russians, in the Lager's command bunker. And China looked up from the map he was consulting and smiled affably as Sean entered.
Colonel Courtney, my felicitations. You were magnificent, a famous victory.
And now you owe me a favour.
You and your party wish to leave, China agreed. All debts between us have been paid in full. You are free to go.
No, Sean shook his head.
By my calculation, you still owe me one. Captain Job has been badly wounded. His condition is critical. I want him flown out to Zimbabwe in the captured Hind.
You jest, of course,
China laughed lightly.
I cannot risk sending such a valuable asset on a non-productive mission. No, Colonel, all debts are paid. Please don't persist in extravagant demands. With my defective hearing, it only annoys me, and I may be tempted to review my generous offer to allow you and yours to depart unhindered.
He smiled and held out his hand.
Come now, Colonel. Let us part as friends. You have the services of Sergeant Alfonso and his men. You are a man of infinite resourcefulness. I am sure that you will contrive to get yourself and all your party to safety without any further assistance from me.